Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Christmas midnight service comes from our Old Testament reading of Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Thus far the text. God doesn't come to those who don't need him. He doesn't come to those standing in the light, or those living where shadows never pass. He comes to those in deep, dark places. He only comes to those in deep, dark places. He comes to those in the midst of pain and anguish. He comes to those who live real lives with real sin and real problems. He comes to those who have been torn apart, hurt to the core. God comes and makes his reign to be right here in the midst of all the dirtiness of this sinful life, all the muck of a world gone wrong, all the mire that stains to the soul. God is the God of none but the lowly, the oppressed, the groaning, and the sighing. And so God comes to us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. A healthy man needs no physician. A man standing in the sun needs no other light to shine upon him. A righteous man needs no savior, but you do. And so God comes to you. He must come to you, for that is the type of God he is. He is a physician for the dying, a light for those in darkness, a savior for the sinner. He is the greater David who reigns on a greater throne and whose kingdom spans time and space and covers a people who are too great to number. God, your God, is a God who loves the sinners so much that he took on their flesh and jumped right smack dab in the middle of their pitiful, fallen, broken, filthy, dark, and sinful little world. God reigns from a manger filled with filthy straw and animal spit. His regal attire is swaddling cloths already soiled. His attendants are smelly shepherds, lowing bovine and bleeding sheep. His earthly parents are a disgraced teenage mother who, by all accounts, went and got herself knocked up, and a man too stupid to divorce her in public and save face. This is our God. Our high and great and mighty King, who willingly does away with all of the glories of heaven so that he can be with his children in the lowliness of a fallen earth. There is a great and mighty difference between the reality of who your God and King is and the assumption of who your God and King should be. For a king should never have to tread the path of the peasants. He should never have to don a servant's attire and dirty his hands with the servant's work. A king should never be one in the pit along with the slaves. He shouldn't be the one who has to bind up the broken and the diseased and the poor and the miserable, clothing them with his own regal robe, putting on their filthy, dirty rags as his own. A king shouldn't hold court with tax collectors, prostitutes, murderers, and rapists, with divorcees, adulterers, drug dealers, and users. A king should never be seen with sinners. And yet this is the only one there is. This is your king. And this is all that he is seen with, associates with, eats and drinks with, communes with, unites himself with. For these are the only ones that he comes for. A king, the king, should never be seen with us, but to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The kingdom of Christ The kingdom of this little child born of a virgin and placed in a manger is beyond all grasp and reason and human understanding. It's one that can't be comprehended by any sort of worldly wisdom or earthly judgment, but can only be grasped by faith. He is wonderful because he does the unthinkable, the unreasonable, the foolish, the ridiculous act of coming to those who do not deserve it. He is wonderful because he makes his righteousness to be your righteousness and your sinfulness to be his. He is wonderful because he turns the whole kingly office on its head. For in the kingdoms of this world, the king alone is free and all others serve him. But in the kingdom of Christ, he alone is the servant and you are all free. He does all of this because your God is a king and not a tyrant. He is a king who loves his subjects like his children. He is a king who believes that a king should serve his people and not the other way around. He is a king who never stops loving his children to the death, never stops giving them their daily bread, never stops giving them their spiritual food, never stops washing them clean over and over and over again, no matter how many times they soil their clothes with the same filthy slop. He does this because we need this. Dear Lord in heaven, how do we need this? Each and every single day, we need this. Each and every single day, we need a God who is wonderful, a God mighty to save, a God who is a redeemer and forgiver and a life giver, a God who gives the sinner peace. We need this because we sit in darkness, a darkness of our own making, and we need the light of the sun to shine down upon us. And so it does, and so he does. Quite apt that we sit here, close to midnight, in abject darkness of candlelight, because it's only those who sit in darkness to whom our God comes. In the flesh he comes, as a babe in Bethlehem, the glories of heaven put away, the darkness of earth fully embraced. In the flesh he comes, living your very same life with all of its filth and mire and deepening darkness that your sins have made it to be. In the flesh he comes, fulfilling that which you could never hope to fulfill, and yet not holding it against you, but instead making you one with him, partaking of his righteousness. In the flesh he comes, dying flesh and blood on a cross, screaming the fleshly screams of one who truly knows the darkness that you live, because he took that darkness fully upon himself when the Father forsook him. In the flesh, he comes, lying dead in a tomb so that he can bury all of your deep, dark sin and all of your deep, dark darkness that your sin has begotten forever in the ground. In the flesh he comes, bursting from the grave, victory in hands, sins forgiven, serpent's head crushed, death killed dead. In the flesh he comes, born to live your darkness, born to die your death, born to be raised for your resurrection, born for you. The people who sat and walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. God only comes to those who sit in darkness. He only comes to the sick and the wearied. He only comes to the fallen and dejected. He only comes to those who need the light, his light, the light of the world, the light of heaven, the light of light, the light that shines in the darkness. God only comes to the sinner, and so he comes to you. In the name of Jesus.